Our Old Testament lesson for today is from the book of Esther, some various selections. You can find them beginning on page 448 of the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king said again to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half of my kingdom, and it will be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me. That is my petition, and the lives of my people. That is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." Then the king said to Esther, "Who is he and where is he? Who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance, said to the king, "Look at the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, and the anger of the king abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in the provinces, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. O Lord, we give thanks to you for this day. Please be with us in our thoughts and me in my words. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been watching a movie or reading a book, and all of a sudden, the plot takes a turn that you weren't expecting? There's something very invigorating about it, something about being surprised that is very exciting. These plot twists are common in thriller and, you know, scary-ish movies, when the bad guy is not who you think it is, or the people were not actually alive as you thought they were. They were the ghosts, and the other people were alive. But they're also in movies that are more comedic in nature. You think Love Actually has some great plot twists in it as you figure out how all the characters' lives intertwine. Books like Harry Potter are full of plot twists. But I won't reveal any of them here because I know there are those out there who have not read the whole series yet, my own children included. But perhaps the most well-known and well-loved plot twist in popular culture is in Star Wars. If you remember, Luke is fighting Darth Vader at the end of The Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader has cut off Luke's arm and is trying to convince him to join the dark side. The dialogue goes like this. Darth Vader says, "Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father." Luke says, "He told me enough. He told me you killed him." Darth Vader says, "No, I am your father." The truth is revealed, and now the whole series takes on a new meaning and direction. A good plot twist is exciting, and it can make us think differently and see the world around us in a different light. The book of Esther holds some of the greatest plot twists in Scripture. Linda offered us a wonderful synopsis of the book, so we can think about all of this intrigue and drama that happens. There are many reversals in Esther. Queen Vashti, who was the first queen, who is dethroned because she refuses to appear in front of the king as she was ordered. She refuses to come when called. Esther shows up to the king when she is not called. The honor of the king goes to Mordecai instead of Haman. Haman expects to be honored at a feast, but is condemned instead. The gallows intended for Mordecai are used for Haman. Instead of the Jewish people being killed, they overcome their enemies. This whole story is reminiscent of a Shakespearean play. It is so full of human drama, but perhaps one of the most interesting aspects is it is the only book in Scripture that does not mention God by name in its entirety, which begs the question, why is it in our Bible? When we look closely at the text, we can see that the whole story revolves around the role of humans in advocating and angling for God's will to be done. The people in Esther are trying to discern how best to live out God's will in this world. Isn't that what we spend a lot of time doing? We want to know what God's will and God's plan is in our lives, in our families, and in the world around us. While we never hear God's name mentioned throughout Esther, we know that God is at work. All the reversals we see together to spare the Jews from annihilation. The Jewish people were all God's covenant people. God was at work with them wherever they were and however their life circumstances found them. For the Jewish people scattered around the Persian Empire, Esther was a story that gave encouragement and hope. It provided a model of how Jewish people could not just survive, but thrive in a Gentile-dominated world. It displayed the work of God evident but unseen, and the unfolding story of deliverance and redemption, making an orphan girl queen and using her courage and influence to save the Jewish people. The work of God is often unseen, but active nonetheless, behind the scenes. This story serves as a wonderful reminder to us. God is at work whether it is evident or not. One of the most well-known lines in Esther is, "Perhaps you have been put in your royal position for such a time as this." I love this line of scripture. I even have a t-shirt that says it. But what Mordecai tells Esther right before this line is just as crucial. Listen to these words. "If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your family, father's family, will be destroyed. Who knows, perhaps you have come to this royal position for such a time as this." Mordecai is completely confident when he is speaking to Esther that God is at work and will provide a way for the Jewish people. God was already at work behind the scenes. Esther was not being asked to discern God's will. Esther was being asked to join God in the work that God was already doing. She was being asked to use her position and privilege on behalf of the vulnerable and the persecuted. She stepped out in courage and allowed God to work through her. She had to step outside of herself, her own fears, and think of her life as a plot twist. Here she was, an orphan who has now become queen. That probably felt like a plot twist enough for her. And now Mordecai is telling her there might be more. Perhaps her role as queen was not actually about her own life, but about her being part of God's story of rescue and redemption for all the people. In a similar way, our lives, like Esther's, are full of plot twists. We think we are walking steadily down one path, that we have discerned God's will, only to find that path was not what we thought. The job we worked so hard for ends up being full of people who we cannot work with. The person we decided to spend our lives with turns out to have personality traits we weren't aware of. The child we wanted so badly breaks our hearts when he or she makes poor choices. We get in an accident, we lose our retirement. Plot twists like Esther's are often scary. Esther's life was in danger. Luke Skywalker had to completely reevaluate what he knew about himself with the realization that the evilest person that he knew was his father. Plot twists in life can throw us for a loop. And like Esther, we can have a difficult time figuring out where God is in the midst of it. My own life has had its fair share of twists and turns. Many of you heard my story last week of my call to ministry, or have had a chance to read it in the Torch. When I was growing up, in my wildest dreams, working in ministry would never have entered my thoughts. In fact, not wanting to be part of church was probably the most rebellious thing I did as a teenager. I can still very clearly remembering my mother telling me that she thought I would make a good preacher. I think I scoffed at her as hard as humanly possible. Then one summer in college, while in need of a job, I stepped out in courage in a way that I had never done. I agreed to be a camp counselor for the entire summer at a camp I'd never been to, as a person who'd never attended camp as a child. It was scary, and I was not sure what it had to do with God's will for my life, but I did it. And there, at that camp, Camp Balcony Springs, under a tree, reading the book of Galatians, God whispered in my spirit, "There is a plan. You are called to be in ministry with me." I did not have a clue what that was going to look like. And here we are, almost 18 years later, and I'm on track to be ordained. There were many twists and turns in my life where I was not sure that God was working. But with each turn, I was reminded that God was at work behind the scenes, whether I could see it or not. God's ultimate plan would have been brought to fruition with or without me. And so I had to choose to work with God in what God was already doing, rather than not doing anything until I saw God at work. There were some times I just wasn't sure what God had really designed for my life in ministry. Was I even supposed to be doing this? What about my family? Was my career supposed to wait till my children were grown? What, or is it now? Did I miss my window? There's lots of questions. I can remember very clearly having a conversation with a mentor of mine and telling her how I was feeling confused about where my ministry was supposed to be. And she told me that the best way to figure it out was to just do ministry. She said, just keep going. God already has it figured out. You just have to continue to step forward. We follow a God who is really good at plot twists, the biggest one of all being Jesus Christ. Jesus, an innocent man, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and plot twist, he didn't stay dead. He rose. God defeated the sting of death, and we are assured of our salvation because of this. The good news of our faith is it's not about us. God is the one at work. God is the one who has done the work of salvation. God carries the sins of the world on God's shoulders, and they are big enough. Ours are not. Our job is to point to Jesus and to the love we know in Jesus in all we do, to join God in God's work, and remember God's faithfulness. God is free to work and act as God wants to, behind the scenes or right in front of us. This knowledge gives us confidence to step out in our lives with courage and know that we cannot mess up God's will. I heard a quote recently that said, "We keep crying out to know the will of God without realizing that God's will is knitted into the fabric of our being." I know I have spent more time than I would like trying to discern where God was leading me. I am sure some of you have had that experience as well. But the good news, the news that Esther reminds us of, is that God's plans and God's will for us are to love God and to live in this world. You might be wondering, that sounds great, but how does that apply to my life? What we learn from Esther and from Jesus in our passage today, who says, "Don't worry about what other people are doing in my name," is our license to act boldly. We can try to answer those questions our children and family ask us about faith because we know that God is at work in their lives. And we cannot say something that will mess that up. We can give money to the homeless man or woman that we see without worrying how they will spend it because God is at work in that person's life. We can listen to the news or conversations in social media or the comments that we read and remember that each person, whether they agree with us or not, is a child of God loved and planned for from the foundations of this earth, without worrying that they are trying to destroy the world as we know it. We can speak love into each place in our world without worrying how it will be received, because God is already at work in that place. This small book of Esther, full of drama and intrigue, twists and turns, mirrors the human life so wonderfully. God is at work even when we don't hear, see, or feel it. And God has elected us to be covenant partners with God in that work for such a time as this, to make known what God is doing behind the scenes in the lived experience of all people, so that all may come to know and trust the God we serve. So go into this day, into this season of your life, with boldness and courage, the courage that God has knitted into your being, for you have been called for such a time as this. Amen.